Well, good morning. This has been a fun journey. I'm glad we're still on that journey, marching our way to that empty tomb. I think this has been a really good exercise for us to prepare ourselves and prepare our hearts for that day and the week that follows, as a matter of fact. So let's pray. Father, I just ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart are pleasing to you, that anything is not true and not of you falls to the ground as rubbish. All else pierces the hearts of those that hear it. In the name of the risen Christ we pray. Amen. So one of my favorite sports movies of all time, to clarify that, is the movie Hoosiers. I think my favorite scene is when Coach Norman Dale, who's played by Gene Hackman, one of the best actors we've ever had, who we've lost fairly recently, he makes a shocking decision in the middle of a critical game. The team is struggling. Momentum is slipping away. The crowd's getting loud. The pressure is mounting. His team is about to crumble. I probably should have been showing Jamie took the time to put these. There he is. There he is. That's Dennis Hopper next to him. And then he starts arguing with the referee. There's that picture. He starts arguing with the referee. He pushes it. He challenges the call. And he refuses to back down. And eventually, intentionally, he crosses the line and asks the referee to throw him out of the game. You remember that? It's a classic. And the ref looks at him confused. And he says, well, I guess you've got your reasons. And the ref tosses him. People are shouting. His players and his assistant coaches are stunned. Then he then casually walks to the huddle. He hands the playbook to the assistant coach, whose name is Shooter, nickname is Shooter, played by Dennis Hopper. And he says, well, I guess I've done it again. He smiles. He walks off the court. And just like that, he is no longer standing on the sideline. The scene moves back to the huddle. You could cut the silence in the auditorium with a knife. The players are confused. The assistant coaches look uncertain. The crowd is watching to see what happens next. The person they depended on for strategy, the person they depended on for direction, the person they depended on for encouragement is no longer physically present. Something feels like it has gone terribly wrong. It's the worst possible moment for a coach to disappear when the pressure is on. But here's what that story reveals. He didn't leave because he was frustrated with the team. He didn't leave because he was abandoning them. He left because they had to learn how to play and win without him. His departure was deliberate. His departure was strategic. What felt like defeat was actually so much more than that. His departure exposes a human condition that we all share. That condition is we equate presence with feelings. We equate presence with feelings. We feel safest when someone is standing right next to us, don't you? Stand next to me. We feel most confident when guidance is visible. I got my eyes set on this. We assume if we can see it, we can trust it. That's exactly what the disciples find themselves in John chapter 16. But before we get there, think about where we've been. In this series, Eyes Wide Open, we've watched Jesus open eyes over and over again. We've seen him performing miracles, revealing the power of God. We've seen him confront systems to challenge tribal loyalty. He redefined identity to reveal the heart of God in his very person, right? We've seen him weep before Lazarus, before he revealed the resurrection power that is contained in Jesus Christ, we saw him cry. Over and over again, we've seen the impact of Jesus' ministry in these past weeks. The miracles, the teaching, the encounters with different people, right? All people from all walks of life. We've seen the what. In other words, we've seen what Jesus does. We've seen what happens when he shows up. We've seen what changes when eyes are opened. But now, in John 16, the focus shifts. Because tension starts to rise beneath the surface when Jesus amps up his rhetoric about his departure. And it raises questions. How will this continue? If Jesus is not physically here, you can just imagine the conversation with the disciples, right? When he's gone, what do we do? How does transformation continue? When he's here, we're clicking on all cylinders. How does courage hold when Jesus is no longer standing in the room? How does this movement gain momentum? And that's when Jesus says something that should stop us in our tracks. He says, "But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away." Okay, insert tension here, right? That's the tension, because if we're honest, most of us wouldn't say that. Most of us would say the opposite. Jesus, it would be better if you stayed. Just saying the obvious here. Better if we could see you. Better if you called the plays from the sideline. You can sit over there, but tell us what to do. Guide us, direct us. But Jesus is about to reframe everything. And that shift is where the power, the real power of this chapter begins. So let's step into that tension. Let's see if our eyes can be open to what Jesus means here. We'll pick up the story in John 16 when he says this, "Now I'm going to him who sent me. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Well, that feels a little outrageous, doesn't it? How could things possibly be better, Jesus? You're really piling it on here. Better than seeing you perform miracles with my own eyes? Better than being live and in person at the Sermon on the Mount? Better than walking beside you every single day, eating with you and joking with you and laughing with you and hugging you? Truth is, the disciples not only equated presence with feelings, but with proximity. And if we're honest, we do the same thing. If I can feel God in worship, he's near. If I hear his voice clearly, he's guiding me. If I feel peace, God must be with me. But if I don't feel anything, then the inverse is true, right? If I don't feel anything, then my prayers are just hitting the ceiling. If worship feels flat, if my emotions feel dry, then maybe he's not here. And worse yet, maybe he's stepped back. Up until this moment, the disciples experienced Jesus physically every single day. Ate with, slept with, woke up with, walked with. They knew what it was like to have Jesus beside them. If they misunderstood something, he corrected it. Like that's the whole of the Gospels, right? If they panicked, what did he do? He calmed it. If they were threatened, he stepped in front. "Back off, guys, I got it." His presence was external. It was visible. It was audible, right? But what Jesus is about to say in John 16 reveals something deeper. In other words, God's presence is revealed when our eyes are opened to truth. Let you marinate on that one for a bit. Here's what I mean. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. Right? He gives us eyes to see, not just with our physical eyes or with our emotions and how we feel, but with our spirit. And today I want to show you three ways Jesus tells us how the Spirit opens our eyes and reveals his presence. I think John does us a great favor by really leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit more than the other Gospels. Not that they all had a different story to tell, right? But John really leans into the presence of the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit gives me eyes to see what is hurting me. Listen to how Jesus words it. "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." So many of us read that passage and think, "Oh good, the Spirit helps me identify what's wrong with you." No, that's not it. That's not what it says. Because I don't need the Spirit's help to help me find out what's wrong with you, and I'm not pointing to anybody in particular there. So that's not what Jesus is saying. That word convict can sound heavy. But it's not condemnation. The Spirit doesn't come to shame you. He comes to help you see yourself clearly. And throughout this series, we've seen Jesus open blind eyes, both physically and spiritually, right? But now the Spirit takes over and works from the inside out. He exposes the lies we believed, like what? Like, I have to control everything to be safe? That God depends on my effort? His love for me depends on what I do? The temptation I fall into doesn't harm anyone. The Spirit brings sin, temptation, and distorted thinking into focus right in front of you so that we can see how it's hurting me. Think of it like this. When someone points out somebody that you trust, let me say that. Let's start it that way. Points out a blind spot that maybe you just haven't noticed about yourself. Doesn't have to be huge, but just something you haven't noticed about yourself. You might feel uncomfortable at first, right? But you know what? That clarity is freeing. It brings to light things that I was blind to. And that's a blessing, right? That's what the Spirit does. He opens our eyes so we're no longer wandering blindly in patterns that harm us or harm others. And those things shape us more than we admit. They drive our anxiety. They fuel our comparison-itis. They build our shame. And the Spirit quietly challenges those things. The Spirit convicts me of my sin. Convicts me of my sin. Just want to make that very clear. Exposes my self-righteousness. Corrects my distorted thinking. He reveals areas of fear. He reveals areas of trust that may be misplaced. He shows me where pride and envy has taken root. Oh, that's a hard one. It's a hard one when those weeds get pulled. He uncovers patterns of avoidance or denial. In other words, before the Spirit ever works through me, He works in me. He opens my eyes to what I can't see on my own. And by doing that, the Holy Spirit invites me to align my heart and my choices and my life with God. But the Spirit's work doesn't stop there. That would be great, and that would be enough. But once our eyes are open to what's hurting us, the Holy Spirit gives me eyes to see what is hurting others. Jesus continues by saying, "The prince of this world now stands condemned." Here's the truth. Evil does not have the final word. I need you to hear that today. More than any other day that I can think of in a while. Injustice, oppression, suffering are all real. They're very real. But darkness has already been overruled. And because of that, the Spirit gives us eyes to see clearly and notice when others are hurting, right? When systems are broken, when someone is living under the fear of oppression, you see, it's easy to get caught up in our own struggles, our own failures, and our own temptations, and the trap is that we only focus on me, my sin, my pain, my suffering, but the Spirit gives us eyes to see how the world is broken in ways that affect the most vulnerable and people on the margins. People who might pass by, you might pass by every day without noticing a struggle. Or people that you maybe choose to turn a blind eye to. When Jesus is saying the prince of this world, he's talking about more than just an ominous evil being. He's talking about the real powers of injustice. He's talking about the real core of greed and pride and deception that's embedded into our world, this kingdom. And yet, while Jesus tells us that these spirits are already defeated, the Spirit helps us see the truth, that the broken systems and the injustice and the evil around us don't get to have the last word. That clarity is freeing to me. It's not intended to paralyze us with fear or hopelessness. Instead, the Holy Spirit calls us to engage with courage and wisdom. Think about like having a pair of glasses with the wrong prescription. With them, pain and injustice around us is blurry and easy to ignore. But when the Spirit opens your eyes and you suddenly see clearly, you recognize that something isn't right and that God cares about that. If you get close enough, you see the faces behind the statistics and the stories behind the headlines. If you dare to step closer, He'll help you see the reasons behind the problems. And that awareness moves you from apathy to empathy, from ignorance to action. That's what fuels our heart for outreach in this church. All we have to say is we want to support the Benevolence Fund, and you guys financially support that. What we say is we need pillows and cleaning products and blah, blah, blah. And you do that. Why? It's not just a good thing we do. Oh, it is. But it's our God-given mandate to carry forward. It's about seeing it as God sees it and joining him in what he's doing to redeem that. And here's the beautiful part. The Spirit does this gently. He doesn't condemn us for what we've ignored. He invites us into awareness to see where God is already at work and to see where we can participate in this restoration. And now we come to the final insight Jesus gives us about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives me eyes to see the path that is best for me. Not intended to be a Dr. Seuss rhyme there, but the Holy Spirit gives me eyes to see the path that is best for me. Maybe that's not a bad thing to put on your windshield. Think back to our opening story. Coach Dale wasn't abandoning his team. He physically left so they could learn to play without him, but that doesn't mean he was absent, right? Because while he was standing there calling, he wasn't standing there calling the plays, they could still hear his voice. His voice was that would guide them in that moment. And the same is true for Jesus. The disciples thought, and we can sympathize with them, that they thought that this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. The source of our security was leaving. But in reality, they were about to gain access to more than they could ever imagined. Because the same Jesus who walked beside them would still lead them forward. Listen how Jesus concludes this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Notice the word guide. It's both relational, but it's also ongoing. This isn't about downloading a set of instructions for figuring out life on our own. This is God walking with us, guiding us from the inside out. The truth isn't just some abstract truths about God. The truth is the path that God has designed for our lives. The Spirit that helps us see what's life-giving, what's aligned with God's will, and what leads us into freedom, into life, into joy abundantly. Think about it. How often do we try to navigate life through trial and error? Don't raise your hand. I know you have. Because you're a human being. We make choices, sometimes blindly, hoping we're on the right track. We listen to advice from friends, family, social media, or even our gut feelings. But still, the uncertainty lingers, right? That's because our humanness leaves us relying on what we can sense, feel, and control. And we know through life experience that those things fluctuate and are unstable. When have they ever proven to be stable? They haven't. But the Spirit, what does the Spirit promise us? Clarity. He will open our eyes to the best direction God has for us. He illuminates steps we need to take and the decisions that we need to make that honor God. He makes clear choices that protect our hearts and protect our futures. The Spirit teaches us to recognize opportunities, to walk in love and mercy and courage. And even when the pain is hard and the path is difficult or the future is unclear, the Spirit's guidance is steady, faithful, and unwavering. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe God feels silent or distant, or maybe worship doesn't move you in the way it used to. And the liar whispers to you, if you can't feel him, he must not be near you right now. John 16 told us a different story, didn't it? God's presence isn't measured by feelings or how close God actually feels. God's presence is revealed when the Spirit opens our eyes. So here's the truth. When courage rises up in you that you didn't manufacture, when conviction surfaces gently but very clearly, when truth steadies you in the middle of a confusing conversation or news event, when you resist temptation and you're not even sure how you did that, when peace shows up in the middle of chaos, when the path forward seems scary but just feels right, take notice. Open your eyes, because most often that's not confidence. That's not willpower. It's the Spirit of God at work in your life, revealing God's presence in crystal clear HD clarity. Jesus' departure was not the end of the access to him. It was the beginning, right? Praise the Lord that we have access to them, to Jesus. Because the same Jesus who walked beside the disciples now lives within you. And the greatest gift he gave wasn't another miracle or wasn't a great sermon. The greatest gift that Jesus gave was his departure. Because through it, he made sure we would never face the world alone. He had to leave so that we couldn't be alone. That sounds oxymoronic, but that's true. The presence of the Holy Spirit lives within us, moving us to action, moving us to be in God's will. Amen. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the words that pierce our hearts, that we are built in your image and that we are never without you. It's not about how we feel. It's about what you've done. It's not what our emotions are in any particular day. It's about that you are present there in everything that we do. We are so blessed, and we just don't ever want to neglect the power of your Holy Spirit within our lives. We lift you up this morning, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen.